We're thankful to be with you this morning once again. And we praise our Lord and our Savior for all the parts of His gospel. The blessing of little children, it just is precious. And it's a wondrous thing that the ministry gets to take part in. And one thing to note that no matter what the case, we were lifting up those little ones. We all had a love, and we were lifting them up in the body of Christ. And our desires were there. And we had maybe had three ministry that were doing blessings, but those little ones have equal portion no matter what before the Lord. And in his spiritual cup, you know, the Lord's Spirit is overflowing. And His love and His mercies are beyond our comprehension, but yet available to His children. And we just need to come to the Lord in love and acceptance of His very will. I had some thoughts upon my heart and my mind that I asked an interest in your prayers with this morning on a subject that I know that is near and dear to everyone's heart. And that's about our spiritual health. We know that it is that where we need to do get a checkup, if you will, or perform a checkup on ourselves with our brothers and sisters and with our Lord, as we look at the comparison to our physical health. And there are some questions I may ask this morning. There are some statements I may make. And once again, as I've mentioned before in some of my sermons, don't think that because that I make a particular statement that I'm firing a shot over the bow or anything like that. Because there are things that are common to all of us, and there are thoughts that are common to us, and cares and concerns to each and every one of us. And it seems like that when we get together, a good portion, it seems, of our conversations seem to be turned toward, well, how are you feeling today? You know, and automatically, you know, people will say, well, I've been doing this and I've been doing that, and I've been going here and getting checked up by this one. I've been going here and going checked up by that one, and you know, and I get the grin from everybody because everybody's, you know, seems to talk like that. You know, my back's been hurting this week, or I went to the doctor to see him and he's seen me. You know, my medications are fine now, or I don't have to take anymore, or I received a blessing and I received a healing, or so on. Or seems to jeopardize, not I use that word, but a lot of our conversations, doesn't it? But it seems to prevail upon our time and influences our hours and days, doesn't it? And probably not if not a person in this room that doesn't even have an issue. I'm in good health. But you know, there is this one thing. And so the one question that we all could ask ourselves, you know, am I in good shape? Am I good in good shape? And so as we look at our spiritual health, we would want to ask the same question, wouldn't we? Am I in good shape? Which poses a lot of questions too. It kind of stems from there, doesn't it, if we would say, are we in good shape? It may say that, well, I am concerned about the shape that I'm in, and so on. Or you may say, no, I'm not really concerned about the shape that I'm in. And so we even, I'm not going to talk about where the gospel relates to our physical health. But I may make some comparisons with our physical health because the similarities are there. One thing is that some, they watch what they do. They watch what they eat. They watch even how they may exercise. And to quote one of our brother's famous verses, bodily exercise profiteth little. But yeah, he's talking about as far as your spiritual welfare. Well, bodily exercise profiteth little. But there are a lot of physical reasons about doing things that would help to promote our spiritual health too. They can be intertwined there. There are those that may be cautious about the things that they may do in their physical activities, or about being healthy, of making wise decisions about where you may go and what you may do, what you may partake in and what you may not, physically, that could endanger your health or not, but have to do with safety. And you say, well, how in the world could that be, about worried about my health and by the activities that I might do? Well, let me give you a short for example. I wouldn't take nothing more than a glorified rubber band and strap it to my ankles, sit on top of a bridge, and jump off for fear of joy. Now you're getting my point. Some may. I wouldn't call it enjoyment. I might call it something else. But there are other sort of activities that borderline on the frivolous. We won't go over into the list of them, because we all know there are. And I may have taken part in some of them myself. I've tried to get wiser, I've gotten older. Hopefully I haven't just got older and left the wisdom behind. But you see my point, that with physical, now we're still on the physical, but there are things that we can do that using caution. And you know, we may be concerned about it. For why? Because of health reasons, right? Some can make our health short, because our life may be short because of them. And there are physical things that we can do that can be very foolish. There's a friend that I'm very well acquainted with, and they were out riding quads. And I like to get one myself. That's not the point. But driving one intoxicated is another. He didn't make it home after he and his friend parted that night. There are things that we can do that wisdom even in the things that we do physically. We're still talking about physically. And we can have good health habits. We each made, even no matter, we have more that are, some here that are more concerned about their good health habits than there are others, and have some most of us will do things that promote a good health. Or not, like let's just say eating. There are things you say that you may not eat because, well, you know, I hear that's bad for me. Now, our sister and I were talking before my brother here told me I needed to get up here and preach about an example. I won't say what that is, but regardless of the matter, there are things that we may abstain from because they don't promote good health, okay? And I'm using some of these examples here on a physical level, because they have a lot, you know, that is a similarity to good health habits. And even a knowledge, learning to do things to integrate or bring into our life that would promote good health. And we each, here, you know, you may tell me, you know, Brother Adam, I read about this article, or I read about that a person should do, that it will promote good health. We were talking about in the scriptures this morning, weren't we, that they told Timothy to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, but for a health reason, probably. We don't know if that what kind of, it could have been any particular even kind of wine. It could have been raspberry. It could have been pomegranate. It could have been grape. We don't know. That doesn't matter. He just said, you know, probably the water was bad in that day, and certain germology or microbes. And our, many of our brothers in different countries wouldn't do things physically. Our brother Brian was saying that, you know, the same tea they might give you that day might have been made from a certain concoction that, well, we won't even go into that, that's out there in the mud puddle. And he said, that's about like a Molotov cocktail to your stomach. And so you need to use wisdom in that. So guess what? That's a health practice, isn't it? And if you're sitting there rolling around sick, boy, how's it going to affect the preaching of the gospel? We have those that have said, you know, no matter how sick you are, you have to, you're the one that's there. You're the one that's been sent. Guess what? You may be sick, but you're the one that's going to be delivering the word. And it's just like after I'd gotten back from Nigeria, and I was just fine with whatever I got over there, which seemed to be always chicken. Brother Buzz will tell you that. No matter what I asked for, I got chicken. I got back in the United States, and I went on a service trip down to Alabama, and I went into, I'm not bad mouthing Walmart, but I went into Walmart. It was my choice, my decision, and they had chicken. So I got myself a chicken, went back to the motel room, and I ate there. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up with I felt like I wanted to die. Okay? And I went to the plant, and I'll tell you what, I didn't feel, I took an extended, an hour or two lunch, and I told the customer, I says, and I'm not making it here. And I says, I'm going to take a long lunch. I'll be back. And I'm sitting there dying in the motel room, as you might say, and I said to myself, you know, no matter how I feel, I'm the one here. And there's nobody here that's going to go out and fix that thing and get it running right. Nobody. I've got to do it. They sent me. So I had to buck up. I had to get back in there and work on it, no matter how I felt. And so we know that there are things and decisions that we can make. And I probably should have known better, you know, about what I chose at the store there to eat. So there are even things, that choices that we can make that can affect others. This is, once again, I read the thrust of my message this morning, but if that helps you, yes, maybe we can all learn something from it, and especially I need to learn not to do the same thing again. Okay? And so we find that there are some that don't care what they do. They don't care maybe what they eat, you know, and or whatever exercise, if or if not. And some feel that no matter what, I'm given a certain prescribed amount of time upon this earth, and it doesn't matter what I do, how I do it, whatever the matter, that just like you said, eat, drink, and marry, for tomorrow we die. And not taking into consideration many certain, you know, wise practices. And because many people will point to, you know, let's just say there are even bad habits that people can have, and they said, well, I don't worry about that because great uncle so-and-so or cousin whomsoever lived to be 90 years old and they did this, this, and this, and this. But look at the statistics of how many may live to that old. And yet, if they lived to 90 years old with that saddle on their back, if they didn't have the saddle on their back, how long would they have lived? We don't know. But regardless of the matter, so we have that sorts, those sorts of comments, don't we? And everything is bad anyway. You always hear that. So why should I worry about what it is that I do? And now, I'm going to be getting on to here a little bit more portion, but I'm talking about physical things still, okay? So many don't bother, and we know many don't care. We hear that all the time. Dangerous lifestyles. I exampled one to you just a little while ago. Okay? And hobbies and the sports. Practices. Dares. Anybody taking a dare in here? Okay, we don't need to see a show of hands. That's okay. We've all probably, to one extent or another, had a double dog dare on this or that. And you think, man, how stupid was that? And I'm talking to myself. All right, I've in my younger years, done some things I'm going, well, that was just flat dumb. And so nobody in here has got a bigger corner on dumb than yours truly, okay? So we're all in this boat together. So we've all seen it, you know, there's the most double dog bears. And we've all made unwise decisions. Okay? And so, and those, there are things each of us we may want to keep to ourselves. We do not want to example them before the other young people in the crowd or the next generation. Well, guess what Dad did here a few years ago. They don't need to know that about some of my past. I know maybe where I've been stupid. There are things that I've done that I may want to prove as an example and tell them about this or that and how the Lord had preserved me, in which I've got some testimonies of those too. But there are some things that, you wouldn't want to put your worst out there. You want to put your best out there for the next generation, don't you? About making wisest decisions. Because the next generation is going to have plenty of their own temptations and wiles, if you will, of the devil. But we know that that going on into the spiritual, one of the most important things to know about your spiritual health, just as well as you know that your heart is beating today, and there's blood flowing through your veins today, do you know Christ? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? This is the lifeblood through your system. Do you know Jesus Christ? And you know something? You say, well, yeah, we there are people that don't know Christ. And there are people, but we're here today. We generally ought to know Him. We know how to feel Him. We know how to be living for Him and so on and so forth. I want you to turn with me over in the Book of Mormon on page 315. And there's an important question that was asked. As Alma was talking to the people, and what particular type of people was he talking to? The same particular people that Paul was talking to as he went to the Corinthians and talked to them in 1 Corinthians and rebuking them. He was talking to most of them were people of the church because of what they had done, didn't he? He was rebuking them. And then the first Corinthians, he was rebuking them. 2 Corinthians, maybe he come back and was apologizing a little bit for the whooping he gave them. Yet he says, listen, if you don't pay attention to the whooping you got, I'll back up the bus and we'll do it again. And here we find here where he's asking them a very important question. And he says here, verse 27. Now I behold, I ask of you, my brethren, of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God, to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? He's asking you this question. There must be particular reasons that he had to ask them at that time. But it's good to take and to do a spiritual checkup on ourselves. I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that you hear the voice of the Lord saying to you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth? Only you can answer that. Or do you imagine yourselves you can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth. He'll still save you? Do you ever go to your doctor? And everybody's raising their eyebrows. Going to your doctor, yes or no? And this is not an honesty confession thing here today. On that note, okay. And You'd like to tell him that you're doing this or doing that. You go to the dentist and he tells you you got to floss. Have you or have you not been doing that? I've tried to be honest with him and tell him, no, I haven't done it like I should. By truth of the matter, I really haven't been doing much of it at all. I've been brushing real good, but other than that. You see, but the Lord, it's not like your dentist, it's not like your doctor, so on and so forth. The Lord knows. Or otherwise, can you imagine yourselves brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having remembrance of all your guilt? Yea, a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness. Yea, a remembrance you've been set at defiance the commandments of God. Let me tell you something in reality. You know, you could tell me you've been living healthy, and the doctor that you're in perfect weight and so on and so forth, and then he says, here, step on the scales. And I'm going to tell you one thing. My scales at home read one thing, and the scales down at the Y read another, because they're the good balanced ones. You're not lying to them. They'll always weigh heavier. Now, one thing about the Lord's scales is that there's mercy on your side. But you need to watch how, you know, that you're, and I'm going to say, have you been living in repentance and under faith unto endurance to the love of God, your heart, and this is what he's asking here of you. Are you going to receive that mercy, or are you going to receive his judgment? You need Jesus Christ, and he needs to be pumping through your veins. I say unto you, can you look up with God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can you look up having the image of God engraven upon your countenances? I say unto you, can you think of being saved when you have yielded yourselves to become servants of the devil? All right, how many here have watched the health food commercial and so on and so forth and went out and they get hungry? And what the first thing they do, they go buy a McDonald's and, you know, there's a Big Mac waiting there for you. The Angus burger. The one with the mushrooms on it?
Yeah.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Been a while. But you see what I'm saying? Yeah, temptation, the golden arches. I'm not bad-mouthing McDonald's. I've been there. They got some good stuff, too. But you see, the thing is, we could yield. And it's just, what about your spiritual life? I say unto you, you will know at that day you cannot be saved, for no man can be saved except his garments are washed white. And there are things that we can continually put into our life that builds the plaque, like around the heart, that causes a person to have heart problems. And we don't want that. We would like to have that blood flowing pure, you know, and that's what most people can tell you, you know, what's my cholesterol like? They can tell you what their weight is. They can tell you their foods that they eat, and so on and so forth. But what about the condition of your spiritual life with the Lord? Yea, his garments must be purified till they are cleansed from all stain through the blood of him whom it has spoken of by our fathers, who should come to redeem his people in their sins. From their sins. Because we can have spiritual health problems. Spiritual health problems, can't we? Yes, we can. Does the Spirit of God flow through your spiritual veins? Now we can get on when you exercise for a while. I think he said it's upwards of 17 minutes before your heart rate really gets up and you start breaking the sweat. And you feel that racing and exhilaration, and you get off maybe a piece of exercise equipment or maybe even a fast walk or whatever you may do there, and you feel that just a pumping away. How many times have you felt the Spirit of the Lord that is pumping through your veins, and it moves you? It moves you to a tremble. The zeal of the Lord has moved you to tears. Have you ever felt tears by the Spirit of the Lord? And this is the Lord asks you about that. And it's a wondrous and a joyous thing. And Nephi, he said, the Spirit of the Lord, it inhabits me to the consuming even of my flesh. How powerful that is. It's that type of joy that what Ammon and his brethren were talking about, all the examples of the things that were able to happen in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ among their brethren, up among the Lamanite peoples. And then there was the Spirit of the Lord that he was talking about, carrying him on to a joy and a zeal. It's that type of a joy. If you look at, and if you're keeping notes, this is Titus 2:14. The Lord will purify unto himself a people zealous of good works. Are you zealous for the Lord? Is zealous for good works? Is zealous to do the things that you know are pleasing in his sight? Not that you've carried on into your walk in the Lord the things of the world that we're to be leaving behind and trying to integrate them back in and thinking, well, the Lord, you know, he'll be okay with that. He'll be okay with that. Is there a pulse? Many people, they have a faint pulse. Maybe they have a strong pulse. How about and that heart rate? Once again, in your notes, Alma, on page 423, verse 151, this book of Alma. And his example there, and I ask that you read it for a little bit of your homework here. In examples, your faith and your good works and so on, and your belief after a seed. And you know something? Just as he's talking to the people here in Alma 3 that we were just reading, he's talking to people of the church. Now, you know, there are many times we need to replant some of those things. And example and promote that faith and diligence a little bit more too, don't we? That experiment of that seed, and he'll always keep nurturing it in the name of Christ. If you keep putting those things that are good in his gospel and not casting them out and not taking care of them. Now, just like we have, many of us, we have health standards. We have spiritual ones too. And I'd like to, if you'd read with me, over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, I'd like to turn there. 1 Corinthians, 6th chapter. And there are things, as we come closer and closer to the Lord and reading of His words and maturing in Him, we come to know of things that you know we shouldn't be doing. We know there are many physical things. Many people try to balance and think that they can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. There are a lot of, we know, social ills. And we don't need to probably line up and take fire at many of them. We all know what they are. There are many things out there that people have tried to bring in and exercise relative morality, that they can handle a little bit of this and they handle a little bit of that. And it's okay, but it becomes a power, it becomes an addiction, it becomes something that can either a time soaker, a money thing, whatever. And draw from us spiritually. It can become an idol. It can become an icon in our life. You've heard the example of a person with their investments, and there's the 800-pound gorilla in the room with giving the advice. Well, sometimes there's an addiction, there's something they can have, and it's the 800-pound gorilla, and he's mean and ornery. He ain't giving you any advice. He's just leading your life around. But you know, like he says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 12, know ye not, he says, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be ye not deceived. And we need to learn about we don't want to be deceived. If you know the truth, you're not going to be deceived. And being informed is the key. Many people get health magazines, probably articles delivered to their house in the mail, and they read them. I know we do. And many of you may too. And in order to be able to learn about these things and the knowledge of them, you've got the most important one there ever was right at your fingertips, your Bible and your Book of Mormon. Got all the spiritual health tips. One has your best interest in mind. His information does not need to be corroborated with everything else. His is for truth and for foundation. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, or abusers of themselves, of mankind, thieves, covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And we could go into, however, each one of those could have a slight, you know, we got to watch, we're not doing a portion of some of those. You've got to make that decision. You've got to make that, you know. It's like our brother mentioned in Sunday school. We would not that someone needs to bring us before and talk to them, you know, you're doing this or you're doing that. Or get two or three witnesses, you know, you're doing this or you're doing that. And we don't want to have to acquaint people with things like that or have to judge them by their fruits. But if it's going to carry them off the path into fires of destruction and influence, we may need to, for a love of a brother or sister, yes, there may be things out of love. He says, but of such of you, such were some of you, but you are washed. Washed in the blood of Christ. And representative also of the waters of baptism. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. You know, things are lawful, and we know that we live in a very liberal country, and we're granted liberty. Matter of fact, it's an envy of the rest of the world, our liberty. But yet there are things we do in our liberties here in this country that are banned in other countries because of its ill effects of morality. There are films that have even been put out that are banned in other countries, and we should be ashamed in this country. But he says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So we must be careful of these things. There are things that we can be brought under the power of some. And when people talk about these things, the most popular thing that seems to come up is always the drinking question. You know. And once, like Solomon's mother taught him, can we take fire in our bosom and be burned? And that's only one thing. And there are many others. We're not going to try to list them all or so on and so forth. But we're not going to be brought under the power of any. And so it's just like even our physical thing, there are things that we may like to eat that we know that are great and they are alluring. Great big old hot fudge chocolate sundae. Oh yeah, I like them. I can't tell you when I've had one, how long. They're good. But once again, there are many things such as like that that are spiritual junk food. That we need to know to understand, stay away from them. Because just like, you know, there are things that can impede the flowing of the blood through your body physically, and you know there is, in order to be able to cause the plugging up of arteries and many other things, many other conditions. I'm telling you, there are things that you can take in your life as baggage, and you can be brought under the power of that can cause your spiritual lifeblood. We're talking about the definition of sin this morning in Sunday school, about the levels of sin. We're talking about grosser sins, lesser sins, you know, things like that. And the Lord does not condone sin, doesn't wink at sin. Because there's an avenue. Why would he have designed you to be baptized unto repentance? Under repentance is turning from. And just like he talks about in the book of Luke, no man looking or putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. Repentance, looking forward, not looking back. Maintaining a healthy spiritual lifestyle. So things we could do that are healthy to promote in good, healthy spiritual habits too, in order to for standards, spiritual health standards as well. You know, as far as we find our health cures out there today, you know, there are many types of cures and plans and so on and so forth in order for people to go on as if there's something that everybody can take part in. There are certain cures, medicines, herbs, and things like that that may be poison to some people because they're individual too. Not a one-size-fit-all cure. As you may go to your doctor, you may require something a little bit different because of and so tailored for you. And you know something? We find even today, even with today's religion out there today, things have become so generic, they want to make a one-size-fit-all religion out there today. Instead of the specificity, don't ask me to say that three times, of Christ's gospel. As we are sitting in Christ's church, and we praise the Lord for His restored gospel. Because He is a way, He is a truth, and yes, He has a life. He has a judgment, and He shall do that. Now, but yet He has designed, and He has put forth His church, His plan, and His direction. Now, not generic, yet He said, I would that all should come to repentance. Because case in point, that if every road that we find out there, no matter how it deviates from His Word and His truth and His plan, we're all His church out there, that we find that there'd be no need for restoration. Everything is good enough, and everything taught is okay. 30,000 denominations we have out there all teaching something different. How can you know what to depend upon? But He has a truth, and He has a plan, and that which we need to rely upon. Just like we were partaking in one of a holy ordinance this morning of the blessing of children. That's in His gospel. And it should be practiced as well as the rest of His words. And if you would like to read with me in the Book of Mormon, and I would like to turn to the third book of Nephi in chapter 10. And we're talking about a not only a latter-day sign, but a latter-day power and restoration, a restatement, a fulfillment. Chapter 10, I'd just like to read a couple of verses. And it says, but if they will repent, and this is the Gentiles, and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in under the covenant, and be numbered among this the remnant of Jacob, whom I have given this land for their inheritance. And they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also the many of the house of Israel shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. We're not talking about plan, we're talking about fulfillment, and we're talking about purpose. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also be in the midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of His people. And so we find more purpose we need to understand what it is that we believe. And, you know, once again, that people may know what their, I would say a good share of people, and you could tell me what their cholesterol reading was. I have no idea what mine is. I'll be honest with you, it's been a while. I have no idea. Some could tell you what their heart rate usually is. Most people in here could tell me what their diet plan is. And what that means is just what things are contained within your daily regimen of food. Doesn't mean that you're going up or you're going down. Just means what's within your normal range of what you eat. And the things that you like to eat, good or bad or indifferent. Or what weight you're at. I'm not asking the ladies, I'm not asking nobody to tell me that, because I'll tell you what, a man should know, men, one good piece of advice, marital advice, you best know when the ice is cracking. Okay, get off the ice. That's one of those questions. Honey, you're beautiful no matter what. Well, you got to watch the or what. But you're going to have to invent your own way of talking to your wife, all right, lovingly. Because the Lord expects this. He says, cheer the wife of thy youth. So that's his, one of his commandments. So remember that. That's one, that's in your health plan. Health for a healthy marriage. Okay? Remember this. Okay, then what they believe and why? Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Why is it you're sitting in the Church of Christ? And I can tell you, I can witness to you that you're sitting in Christ's church, in His restored church. I can tell you that, but you know something? You need to search these things out for yourself, and you need to know them. I can tell you about the Bible and the Book of Mormon. I can tell you, we can talk about, you know, an apostasy, restoration, and many of those things. We can talk about all the facets of the gospel. But you need to know these things for yourself. It's your search. It's your knowledge. It's your foundation. You should search these things out for yourself. Not that we will not try to teach you of these things. But once again, as we were reading in chapter 10, we find a very holy promise that was set in stone, literally, written on plates of brass, for the Lord's purposes to be made known this, the latter day. We may be steadfast and immovable in keeping His commandments and His truth. And just like you said, that His power would be among us, and then that about Jesus Christ, once again, about knowing who Christ is and so in your life, that most people can tell you who the doctor is. Now, I'll tell you the truth, I'm not quite sure who mine is right this day. I've been to a couple, been a while. One's moved. I'd like to find another. Okay? But do you know Jesus Christ? And He's the true healer. He doesn't have to have, He doesn't have a indecisive cure. Hey, let's try this. Let's try that. No. And I'm here to tell you that I know for a fact that His only way of universal health care is going to work. I don't have to guess at it, and I don't have to wonder about it, and I know that it's the only version that's going to work of universal health care. Leaving all politics aside, won't get into them. His version, we can all agree on, is the one that shall work. All right, and we've got to move on quickly here. But I'd like to, now we've gone into some of those things and some of those examples and so on, that now we need to go into some preventative cures, and that is into some strength training. We need to go into some strength training, and that's for all ages. And we know that we have those that may be into whatever forms of exercise and weightlifting and things like that for strength training and for endurance, however that may be. I want you to turn with me over into 2 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. Now we're looking for true strength. For true strength. 2 Corinthians. Not Galatians. 2 Corinthians. 13th chapter and the 4th verse. Corinthians 13:4, and he says, though he was crucified through weakness, and we know Jesus Christ willingly laid his life down as a lamb led to the slaughter, he says, in him was found no guile, and he willingly, even though he could have called legions of angels in order to take him down, to protect him, but he willingly and knew, and now all the full knowledge, knew what he had to do. Yet he liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in him. But we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. So we find where the true strength is. With many men in here that have a grip could probably, you know, be strong enough to bend steel. But and ladies, a lot of ladies are very strong. And they've done many things of strength in many ways. A true person of strength knows when to humble themselves before the Lord. If you can feel the Spirit of the Lord to bring you to trembling and to tears, take a look at that. That shows you true strength. And the Lord has shown you true strength here. A wise person and a strong person will know how to bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father, which is in heaven. If we take a look at it, we won't turn there this morning, but 2 Peter 1, 1 through 9 is talking about virtue. And in order to, it talks about many things about virtue. We can't just proclaim ourselves all virtuous. And we know, even as our brother on Mother's Day was preaching a sermon on the virtuous woman, Proverbs, all the ladies were listening in here, and many of you have those either talents, gifts, and you all probably thought, you know, I wish one portion of that, each of you thought, maybe I could be more like that, or I would like to be like that, because you gave quite a tall order, didn't you, brother? Quite a tall order. And so as we look to that we cannot just proclaim ourselves all virtuous, but guess what? It takes some effort. It takes some life. It takes a little bit of living. It takes water that goes underneath the bridge in order to exhibit virtue. It takes effort. So guess what? Strength training. You know where we're going here? What about purity? Now, purity, we were talking about some bad habits and things like that, and shunning things that would keep our spiritual blood from running pure. And Romans in the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2, says to submit our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and unblameable in His sight. So that takes effort to shun things and to go on unto virtue. In James, in the first chapter, verses 26 and 27, in that area is talking about, you know, bridling the tongue. It also goes on to talk about bridling the body. That if we know and learn restraint, is exhibiting strength. I know that there are many times that we have to use restraint from our will. What about the things that I would like to have? I was looking at a good sized power mower. I'd like to have for my lawn. Oh boy, this thing is beautiful. It's wonderful. You know, it's got some power to it. This thing's got 35 horsepower. It's got a 6-foot deck on that thing. It's got steel. It's bought with almost like a tank's armament to it. You know, that thing also costs $5,000 or better. Adam would like one of those things. I'm telling you. Restraint. Adam also knows better. Okay? There are many things that we would like to have. And it takes physical, mental restraint. And also with the things that we would like to say. There are things we would like to say, you know, and there are things that we weep over that we have to keep inside that could be hurting other people. And there are things that we can go to someone lovingly and say, and there are things that we cannot. We have to hold back, especially in the ministry. You can hurt people. It takes restraint. We need to be weak and humble before the Lord that we may have that wisdom to know about restraint. That we may be strong. How about kindness? Kindness is something that takes effort. Kindness to our family members as well as others. We sometimes forget. You know, we may hold the door for others. We may be kind to others in other things. But what about our families? We seem to forget. And those of the household of faith, they are not our doormats. Our brothers and sisters, and they should be treated with kindness, Once again, our brother's message in Proverbs talked about in her tongue was the law of kindness. And how about forgiveness that the Lord Jesus Christ said was so imperative, so essential, forgiveness. If we can't forgive others, and if we also can't learn to forgive ourselves, how can our Father in heaven forgive us? We have to put good habits into our spiritual life. We have to use good habits in order to be able to promote that spiritual lifeblood flowing through our veins, that we may show the life before God, the life that He is willing to give you, given us, and our Savior has given to us, His life. That His Spirit, as we partake of the sacrament, He says, partaking of that, in the book of John, and in the sacrament of prayer, that we have His Spirit to be with us. In the book of John, He says, we don't have life. It is that witness that we are living unto repentance and living unto in faith, unto endurance, and that we need that strength. Yes, we need that sacrament, that lifeline with our Lord. The very witness of His very powerful sacrifice, the eternal sacrifice paid for your debts and mankind's debts. And you remember that, you acknowledge that, and you witness that as you receive. You said, Lord, yes, I shall live for You. I have pledged unto You. I have walked into the waters of baptism. I have received You, and I am witnessing of You this very day in Holy Communion. How about your time in prayer? We spend so much time in so many ways and with so many things. How much time do we spend in prayer, in communication? Many people have said, just like those that aren't worried about communication with their physical health and things like that, people say, well, the Lord knows what I'm thinking. But you know something? We have an example of a young man that prayed all day. And the Lord said, your sins are forgiven. He's pouring out his heart and his soul. And that you're willing to take the time to kneel or your manner of humbling yourself before Him in order to approach His holy throne in the name of Christ your Lord. That you are willing. Yes, Lord, I'm going to talk to You. How much time in prayer do we do in good habit? And how about worship as we hear this day with your brothers and sisters? It says in the book of Hebrews, I believe it's around the 13th chapter, that do not forsake the assembling yourselves together. That's a commandment. That we may engage just like you may find in your health magazine, you talk about a good health maintenance plan. And that's up to whoever the author's recipe was for it. Am I right? So whatever their recipe was, good maintenance plan. But yet, how about worship and partaking in God's spiritual maintenance plan? I want to get into one other portion that I need to get to, and this is the one other portion of this morning's message. Not a long one, but very important. And we have where many people even engage and use herbs and treatments and all sorts of things, and I'll take certain things too. Some people take ginkgo for memory, and I'll need a whole bottle of that, or echinacea for good health. You may take cayenne pepper, which promotes good cardiovascular health, and so on and so forth. Many people take fish oils and things like that. It's supposed to be good for your heart and the antioxidants that are in it. Many people do that, but there's God's herbal plan, in order to partake in His cures, partake in His preventative maintenance, if you will, looking toward your spiritual health and maintaining that. And one very powerful one that you can't buy in a bottle, that's already been paid for, that we should be living in and looking forward to every day, and that's living for eternal life. We should be living for eternal life. In His gospel plan, there are attributes and virtues and things that we found in the life of a Christian, in the life of a believer. Are you living for eternal life? If you're the person who's accepted Christ and you have that you are zealous of His good works that He's talked about in Titus, there will be things that are found that will be found in your life. That will be found in your ways and your decisions. They are the effects of God's plan and living for eternal life and serving Him, thinking of Him, praising Him. Do we praise Him? We have a way. We ask Him for many things. I know I do. We ask Him for many things, don't we? Do we praise Him? If you're feeling good and you're walking outside when things are going right, and you've noticed a blessing even in two, He said, "Praise You, Lord. Thank You." Have you said that? Do you think about that? Do you know where to give the thanks and the praise? And you know, once again, in that plan is that sacrament. It is only good for you, but the Lord notices and He blesses you as you renew and revitalize that through that avenue of witnessing unto Him and through the sacrament. How about sharing? Do we share with others He talks about in His gospel? Do we share with others? Do we share with even the poor? Do we share with Him? You know, even through tithing and of offerings. Do we do that? Many people, you know, that are very loving, sharing, and so on and so forth when it comes to, other than it comes to monetary things. You know, the Lord makes all things happen. And the Lord does not need your money. But in true essence, the Lord is proving His people. And yet the Lord says He'll open up the windows of heaven, like He says in the book of Malachi, and also in the book of 3 Nephi. He says, "I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." He's proven His people. He's already given you the whole pie. You've heard my example. He's already given you the whole pie. What if He took the whole pie off the table? You think He can make that happen? When your cup of blessing, when he takes that away, because of our stubbornness, hardness of heart, whatever that means, or selfishness, we have got no pie to share. Are we willing to give Him back a slice? Everybody to talk about a percentage, a 10% percentage. Well, that was only a figure that was used. But you know, Jesus looked upon the receipt of custom, and He seen a rich person that was putting in. And they also seen this lady that had a mite, and this was all she had, is what it was said. And one of the disciples said, "Now, didn't he put in a lot?" Jesus said, "Now, you watch. She put in more." So we may talk about 10%. We can put in as much as we want. What's within your heart? What has the Lord given to you? And can you ever pull out enough money out of your pocket to buy a blessing? Never. I'm not saying that we're buying them. We're not buying them. But all these things are involved in our spiritual activity, our spiritual health, our spiritual devotion. One other thing in closing today, and that's in Malachi in the 3rd chapter. If you'll read with me. Malachi in the 3rd chapter. Very important, very powerful, very promising to God's children. Malachi 3rd chapter, and I would like to read verse 14 through 18. Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. You see this today. I don't need to tell you anything about that. We see it all around us today. And we see where they may prosper too. You write down Psalms in the 37th chapter, and you do that for a little bit of homework tonight, and then you come back and talk to me about it next week. Psalms 37. And then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall ye return and be discerned between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and serveth him not. The Lord answers his own questions. And so, I thank you for your time, for your prayers, and our life together to this day. Sister?